business owners. This is Lorraine Ball, and this week we're going back into our archives to talk about why no one is reading your blog. This is a conversation that I had with Jared Jewett a few years ago, but the tips and strategies we talk about are still relevant today. Okay, I'm really sorry that you might be feeling a little offended right about now, but here's the thing. If you're pounding your chest and you're talking about how great you are in each and every blog, ho-hum, I don't care.
Right, no one cares.
If you want people to read your blog, you have to create content that's interesting to them. Everybody assumes that they're going to share their one little magic piece of content and millions of people are going to beat a path to their door. But the problem is that there's a lot of people writing a lot of content every single day. So how do you start figuring out, if you're working hard and you're creating content for your blog, how do you start figuring out what to write about and why no one's coming?
One of the things we were talking about is that your topics might not be interesting at all. Go back to some of your archive posts, some of your legacy posts, and look at your metrics, figure out which ones did the best, and then again, you know, diagnose the problem, figure out what was right with those, and figure out what is wrong with your new posts. Are they not on the same topics? You can, if you want to fix the problem, you can take a spin on those old topics, bring them up to kind of the modern era, and roll with those, and see what kind of results you get.
Particularly if you're just starting out. So maybe you haven't had a lot of history on your blog and you're looking for some information. Think about the questions that people are asking you. Think about what kind of things you tell people every day. Because here's the deal. If one person is asking you, five people had that question at 11 o'clock last night and didn't know who to ask.
Yeah, your customer service inquiries are a treasure trove of topics for you to write about. Lorraine's completely right. There are more than five people. There's 10 people. There's 100 people who have the same problem. And that's why they come to you in the first place.
People come with questions. They're trying to decide what kind of floor they should be putting in their house. And one of the most popular blog posts that we wrote for a flooring company was, what's the difference between engineered and vinyl laminate floors? Honestly, I had no idea. But it seems that there are lots and lots of people every single day who want to know the answer to that question. And now when they do, they find our customer. And one of the reasons that flooring customers find this particular article is because of the emphasis that Google puts on good content.
They want your content to be interesting, relevant, and authoritative, right? If you're an authority in your industry, or at least even if you think you are. Instead of worrying about cleaning up keywords, it's sort of put keywords a little bit to the wayside. It's really more about how people are searching. So more and more nowadays, people are using their mobile phone, using the microphone within their phone to just ask a simple question. So instead of traditional queries, like the example I used was local pet adoption, people don't search like that really anymore, especially not on the fly. Nowadays, people whip out their phone and say, where can I go to adopt a pet?
So when you're thinking about creating content, if you want to be visible on the fly, on mobile, in response to a Siri search, which, by the way, I should mention that Siri doesn't understand me 90% of the time, but in the off chance that she understands you, you need to be adding natural language.
Yes.
To your titles, you need to use natural language in your blog posts, you need to use natural language in the meta descriptions that you assign to your posts.
Absolutely.
But good SEO is not the only way to drive traffic to your blog posts. You can share them on social platforms, you can use email marketing. How about some tips for if you're going to share blog content on Twitter or Facebook? Some protocols people should follow.
All right, so let's start by discussing what you need to do, for instance, on Facebook, right? We know, just through practice, that if you share a picture, people are going to see it. It takes up a ton of real estate in the timeline, but you need to make sure you have interesting copy that goes along and really sells what your blog post is about. If you're not doing that, that's probably a big reason why people aren't actually being led to your content.
And now with the new Facebook Paper app, those pictures are becoming even more important. As I'm playing with that tool and I'm looking at my timeline, anything with a picture hits the top third of my page. Anything that's just text is sort of scooting along in the bottom.
Yeah.
So an interesting blog post with a great photo, put the photo in the timeline, and then a link to the blog post.
So let's talk about Twitter for a second. Are you doing, as a small business owner, your research on what people are talking about around your product? One of the best places to look is just in the Twitter search bar. Look for hashtags with keywords that are relevant to the piece of content that you've created, right? And so if you can get into the conversation that way, pull a really, really interesting little bit of your post, use it as your tweet, and then hashtag it to put it within that interesting conversation, then you're doing your job right.
We have a friend, Dr. Greg, Indianapolis Vets. He's mm-hmm. the official vet of Ground Peck.
Yeah.
And he does a great job on Twitter. And he will talk about a particular virus or a particular something that's going on with pets. And he will tag it in a way that other people who are looking for that can find him. So if you've got an animal, you're going to find Dr. Greg. If you're another vet, you're going to find him too. And you can see what he's talking about, how he's sharing his info, and then you can share yours in a similar style.
Yeah, that's a great point. You really need to be also looking at what your competitors are doing in the social spheres and just on their blogs. What blogs are getting the most comments,
mm-hmm.
yeah, what kind of topics they're talking about, and how you can kind of graft that into your products and services.
But if you find interesting content somewhere else, don't just lift the interesting content, but if you find some interesting information on a blog and you want to kind of comment on it or expand on it, make sure that you set up a track back to the original blog. That way that author knows you're talking about them. It increases the chances that that author is going to share a link to your blog post. It increases the chances that that author is going to mention you in their status updates. I think people forget a lot that what makes social media work is that community.
Right. Having that reciprocal relationship, I mean, is just another one of the not quick and easy avenues, but definitely one of the most powerful tools you have in your toolkit to get your blog seen. And I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And you know, you were talking about Facebook and Twitter. If you're in the business to business community, do not forget about LinkedIn. We've been doing a lot of research lately, comparing our interactions on LinkedIn and on Facebook and Twitter. And I'm going to tell you, for business-to-business communication, when we're promoting a seminar, when we have a specific download, we get better response from LinkedIn than the other communities.
And LinkedIn is really the place to build your authority. I mean, people see you sharing your awesome, awesome, high-quality content on LinkedIn. They trust you. They really do. They will think that you are a leader in your industry, that you know what you're talking about.
Also, it is a wonderful way to get introduced to a wider community. I've seen a lot of our posts, both from my personal and from the LinkedIn company page, and that's important. I share from both because I have an enormous community on LinkedIn that is connected to me. I'm trying to grow the Round Peg community, but I share content from both, and I can see who interacted, how they interacted, did they share or comment and expand. And while we're on the subject of social networks, you cannot ignore, you got to do G+.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no reason for you not to be on Google+. It's easy. It's really easy to navigate. You can make a website in a couple minutes, and your websites will get indexed.
And that is the real key thing with G+. It's not a social community. People are not really talking and sharing and interacting. But Google is using the information that people are putting on Google+. To enhance search results. So if you're writing a blog post, this is not if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't coming. Mm-hmm. People gotta know. So you need to be, number one, creating interesting content filled with relevant keywords and good content around the keywords. You gotta be sharing it on all the social platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be joining those discussions.
Yeah, you have to be there. You have to be present. If you're not, no one is going to be reading your book.
Now, of course, this does make the assumption that you're writing good content.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, we can help with that.
We actually offer blogging services for businesses of all sizes in all sorts of industries. If you'd like to learn more about our blogging services or find resources on how you can do it yourself, be sure to check out our blog and resource page at roundpeg.biz. And if you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to hear more, be sure to look for us wherever you listen to your podcasts. This has been another episode of More Than a Few Words. Thanks for listening.